just don't hear me and myself over the music.
What?
Yeah.
What did you say?
No kidding. I'm here. So we're glad that you are here, and it's another fine day for Blog Talk Radio, and we certainly are happy that you are here on Your Money, Your Matters with Rick Grady from the Cornerstone Credit Union League and Todd Mark from Navicore Solutions. As we talk about going back to school again, we were kind of picking that up all this month, just kind of playing with that theme as we go along through the month, because some people start school next week. Some people start school right after Labor Day. We don't really have an idea as to when the school systems are going to open, so we just kind of wing it, figuring that in the next 3 weeks, some school somewhere in the nation is going to open up, and maybe you'll need a tip or two. And so we are here to see if we can help you out, and if you can give us a call if you would like, and we will gladly answer your question on the air. The number is 646-929-1020. That's 646-929-1020, and the chat room is also wide open, so you can, if you so desire, chat with us in the chat room. I will read your information on the air, and we'll see if we can answer it that way. And hello, Todd.
Hello, Rick. You said we're winging it for school being here in August, and as a preview for the remainder of the year, from September through December, we're going to wing it, and we're assuming somebody will be celebrating holidays and doing holiday shopping the remaining 4 months of the year.
It will, right after.
And sadly,
that's true. I will tell you right now that at the beginning of August, I went into the local Hobby Lobby store.
Yep.
And as I walked into the vestibule or foyer or whatever you call it at the local Hobby Lobby store,
yep,
there was nothing but line after line after line of Christmas trees as far as I could see. And then as soon as I walked into the door and looked off in the distance, because I thought, why are the Christmas trees already sitting out here with price tags on them? I thought, well, I'll just see if they have their Christmas holiday decorations up. And sure enough, on the side of the store that they always have packed full of Christmas decorations, the Christmas decorations are already out on the floor.
So now remind me, when does summer turn into fall?
Somewhere in September.
And remind me, Christmas, and of course all the other holidays, because I'm sure they'll have stuff for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Festivus, whatever. Those are winter, correct?
I always thought it was that way in the northern hemisphere.
Okay, so
southern hemisphere, it might be summer.
So all we're saying is we're two seasons ahead. But but you know, there's nothing like being prepared.
You know, and I looked at some of that, and I thought, you know, it's nice that they have it out there. It's, you know, and everything else, but I'm not ready for that. I mean, it was, when I walked in there, 104 degrees.
Yep.
On a Saturday, and I'm sitting there going, it's 104 degrees. I am not going to take a wax candle Santa out and put it in my car, not unless I want a wax puddle of candle.
So what's funny is I know that some of the craft stores and the, you know, like Hobby Lobby, Michael's, Joann's, they you know, but specifically Hobby Lobby is a very unique sort of store. They do way more than just crafts. They've got decor and things. Yeah. The holiday stuff, I'm sure, is as a big part of their yearly revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, where is the fine line? You know, and at what point do you say, forget about it, we're helping Christmas stuff year-round?
No, I understand that Hobby Lobby is not open on Sundays, and that is because they are a very religious corporation,
yes,
and therefore they're not open on Sundays and various other what I would call Christian holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe to them, you know, Christmas is a year-round event. Maybe it's always there, and I just never noticed it.
Maybe it is.
But,
what I love, and, you know, we'll be talking back to school today, just like we have the last few weeks,
mm-hmm,
because my kids, just as most here in the Dallas area, go back next Monday, the 24th. But so I was at Target with my son last night, and I said, you got all your stuff? He goes, yeah, I got all my stuff. So I said, well, let's go walk back and see if there's anything cool. And you're saying, where does this fall in with money lessons, with taking your kids' business? It doesn't. So we go to the back of Target, and they still have it completely filled with back-to-school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I will assume that next Tuesday, 1 week from today, the Halloween stuff will be up.
But if you go to Hobby Lobby, it's already up.
Oh,
it's right next to the Christmas stuff.
Based on this schedule, they would probably have the Halloween stuff up around Memorial Day. But anyway...
my figuring is that, you know, when it gets close to Thanksgiving, the Easter stuff ought to be out.
Exactly. So, I was just thinking, all right, a couple days after school, they'll start getting the Halloween stuff out. But, you know, in a place like Target, the Halloween stuff is right in the same area where they'll have the Christmas stuff. And they'll start putting, like, just the lights along the back wall for people that want to start. But various stores, I'm sure you go to the mall and someone like Macy's may start having their little section with the ornaments, you know, and a few decorations. Because, you know, many years ago they used to have, like, they'd have the Christmas store that would open up seasonally. Or you'd go into malls and you'd have these year-round Christmas shops. Remember, I do believe there is one in Plano.
There's two of them.
Oh, really?
But there is one on the intersection of Preston and Parker.
Huh.
It's called Holidays.
Oh. Just Christmas stuff.
No, that's the only store they have.
Uh-huh.
You walk in and you meet not only the person helping you, but also the person that owns the store. So, you know, it's kind of neat. I like going in there and browsing, and typically I will buy there because I support small business, and it's a really small mom and pop business.
Well, I promise to check that out. That sounds kind of cool. So it's just kind of funny. I'm talking about this because back to school was the second biggest seasonal or incidental expense that most families have, and it's the second biggest only to the holiday shopping.
Yeah.
And when we say holidays, we mean the winter holiday, whichever that one that is for you. But, so these are the two biggest financial impact events. Now, if some of you are listening and saying, well, I don't have kids. Well, guess what? You're surviving back to school. You don't have to worry about those costs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you never have. If you're single, you have no kids. So, great. Then you're going right into the next season, where it's how can we pry as many dollars out of your purse, out of your wallet, as possible. But it's such a confluence where the back to school is right on the heels of, you know, it just preceding when all the holiday stuff starts hitting the stores.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have a bunch of holiday shopping, and you've got kids, this can precipitate a very disastrous financial second half for you.
It really can.
You almost wish you could spread these things out year-round. But
you know, and I'm going to – I grabbed this article that was in the Dallas Morning News, and the reason that I picked it out was it happened – you know, it just came out not too long ago, and I was thinking, gosh, this is kind of like going back to school. And the reason that I had it was is it was talking about premiums on your insurance, and if you have bad credit, which, you know, you go out there and spend a whole bunch of money during the summer or even on school stuff, and then you don't pay your credit cards off on time, you're going to get dinged in your FICO score. You're going to have bad credit. And what the article really talked about is when you are going to go out and take auto insurance or a home insurance, and the insurance company will look at your FICO score and determine whether you're a high-risk person or a low-risk person. And if you're a low-risk person, you'll get a low premium. If you're a high-risk person, you get a high premium. And that's kind of how they feel, even though I don't totally agree with that formulation, because you can have people that drive very safely and are very responsible homeowners, et cetera, and may have gotten into a jam here or there. Therefore, they're labeled as a high-risk individual, and they really aren't, but they sock them with the insurance premium, which can be 2.5 times more than what somebody would get an equal policy for if they're low-risk. But the reason that I pulled it out of the paper was because as I was thinking of this, as kids go off to college and you pile into the car or sometimes into the small U-Haul that's behind the car a whole bunch of their prized possessions, not only their clothes, but and maybe some of the books that they've already bought, but their electronics and TV and a little refrigerator and a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to go into their dorm room or their fraternity room or their apartment or wherever they're staying. A lot of that's pretty expensive stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you really ought to have insurance cover that. And you can't just rely on your homeowner's insurance covering it because your homeowner's insurance covers the contents of your home.
Mm-hmm.
If your child is off at school, you need to go and talk with the insurance agent to find out if there is something on there that covers their possessions while they're at school.
Yeah.
Because they're... You know, their computer is vulnerable. Somebody could, you know, come into their room or their apartment, take their computer, take their electronics, their gaming system, their TV, their stereo, whatever it might be, and they've lost several thousands of dollars, and you want to make sure that that's covered.
You know, I don't think I've ever asked this myself or anybody else. Does renter's insurance cover when you're in a dorm? You think about that. You pretty much are renting, you know, on a nine-month basis. It's kind of like a nine-month agreement lease.
Mm-hmm.
So do you get a renter's insurance policy, or can you surf on the homeowner's insurance, or is there a leeway depending on the policy?
I think that, you know, knowing when I went off to college and what my dad did, there are riders that people can put on their homeowner's policy that mm-hmm. cover goods that are away from the home for a period of time. They're not what you would consider a renter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have a full contract and they're not living there mm-hmm. permanently, but they're living there for a period of time, and therefore it's covered, but you need to make sure that there's a rider on the policy that covers the goods. I have a rider on mine because my daughter travels with her electronics. She travels with her electronic games in her suitcases. She'll be staying at her apartment in New York City, then she goes to an apartment wherever it might be overseas, and it's covered from theft while she might have left it in the apartment, gone off on a casting call, come back, and it's all gone. That hasn't happened yet, thank the Lord, but you know, if it does, although it'll be inconvenience and a sad time for her because she won't be happy, it is covered from a monetary standpoint. We can replace it.
So if for those of you that have questions about that, or maybe your kids are getting ready to go off to college and a lot of universities are starting in the next few weeks because you can't start football season without the semester being in play, right?
Well, I would think that, yeah, that's absolutely correct. You start the semester and you wait for, you know, in the north, some of the leaves to start falling, so it feels like a football game.
Yeah.
You know, in the south, I mean, you sit and watch a football game in the fall and you roast to death.
Well, and by the way, Rick has his Bucky Badger
I do.
Coffee mug filled with water today.
Cool.
It's your water mug.
Yep.
Your water mug that
yep.
looks like it holds coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're right around this mm-hmm. corner for college as well. And you know, back to school, it's easy to get caught up for little kids, but going off to college, that's where their real expenses are.
Yeah.
If you've got a kid going off there, don't chance it. Don't risk. Why don't you just call your insurance agent today.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, you know, I had to call my insurance agent just with a question the other day. They love talking to you because, you know, it builds, it's relationship building, mm-hmm. and they're saying, yeah, we're taking our money from you every month.
That's right.
And you're not making a claim. We're happy to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We want to keep you happy. So so call them up and find out if you need a special rider, if that would fall into renting. Obviously, if they're getting an apartment, that would definitely be renter's insurance.
Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I've never thought about that. Mm-hmm. And a dorm, what that may be considered.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that they would offer you a renter's insurance policy. Mm-hmm. It'd probably be no different than getting a rider on, you know, and mm-hmm. may have the very same costs involved mm-hmm. too.
And it's inexpensive because it's just covering contents. And it's not covering the dwelling, so not unlike a homeowner's policy
yep.
that's covering the entire dwelling and contents. This one's just covering contents.
You know, when I moved into my apartment and I got renter's insurance from the same place that I got my homeowner's insurance from
mm-hmm.
my home that I still own,
mm-hmm.
and my car insurance and my life insurance,
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. And they were like, like, you know, you're up for savings on something else. They say, you could be adding this and still saving money. They said, but the actual cost, they said, well, let's do a scan of what you're putting in there. But they said, it'll be between $8 and $12 a month. I'm like, well, there goes my bank account. I'm going broke now, aren't I? You know, and
yeah.
You just have to laugh, especially compared to what homeowners insurance is. So I was like, all right, I think I can handle that one. So go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was funny. So very, very inexpensive. And you know what? You think about kids going off to school, there's probably a greater likelihood of theft in a dormitory or in a frat house or sorority or in an apartment on a college campus where you have a lot of kids that are feeling like they're living freely and on their own independently for the first time, and naively they may leave their door unlocked all the time. And so they may not even be burgled. The house will be burgled, I guess, so their room would be burgled. But it's not even that it was a break-in. It was you were robbed because you were stupid.
Well, you know, and the other thing is that you might have multiple roommates. I mean,
yes.
If you have an apartment, you might be sharing the cost over two, three, four individuals. And the trust is that when each one of those people leave, they will lock the doors to protect not only their stuff, but everybody's in the apartment. And when they have friends over that you trust, those friends are not going to leave with something. And we found that out when my daughter had a party at the house one day. And there were a couple of small items that were missing when the party was over. And it wasn't because they were lost somewhere in the house, misplaced somewhere in the house. They were actually lifted from the house. And so she was very angry at the group of people that she had over, and she kept whittling it down until she thinks that she narrowed it down to the culprit. But she was very upset.
It wasn't a flask from Winston Churchill, was it?
No, it wasn't. You know,
it wasn't a Fabergé egg, was it? These are movie.
What
movie
she
books.
Had was that she had borrowed. They played this game where they basically bounce or throw ping pong balls into cups.
Beer pong.
I mean, I never play it, so I have no idea what it is. But anyway, she had borrowed one of her friend's beer pong set.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice table, like a fold up, almost like a ping pong table, but it would all fold up. And she had borrowed that and had it out. They were playing it in the garage, so that, you know, if you spill in the garage floor, big deal. But they were playing in the garage. When they were done, she washed it all off, folded it all up, and put it in the vestibule so that she could give it back to her friend. That was missing at the end of the night. She was not happy with that.
Well, better that than the Fabergé egg or the Winston Churchill flask.
Yeah. Fabergé
egg?
Mm-hmm.
You remember which one that movie that is?
No.
Risky Business.
Oh, okay.
You remember that one?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
His first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about at the end. The egg was still on. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I remember now. Yeah, I only watched it a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. And then the Winston Churchill would be a lost reference from the character Charlie, who ended up ruining a relationship because he stole his girlfriend's Winston Churchill flask. So anyway, which reminds you, you could not just be robbed because you're stupid. You'd be robbed because your roommates are stupid. By the way, the other thing, you could be robbed by one of your roommates.
It's true.
It is.
It's true, and it happens.
Mm-hmm. So it is important to cover your assets. Just like we say for any other insurance, you may say, it's a dorm. What all do I have to show? Spin around your dorm room in 45 seconds using your iPhone, your smartphone. Just take a video and say, here's my single closet, and here are my clothes inside my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the couch and the big screen TV I brought. Here's my game system, and here are the books I put up on my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as that, and you know, I say 45 seconds. It's slow enough that if you have to freeze frame on an MP4 and you say, look, here are these books that I bought, here are those books, here are my DVDs or Blu-rays, here are my video games, can you please help me replace this? All this is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can file that as part of your police report, you know, and then you can laugh at your roommate as he's being cuffed off and taken to jail and saying, thanks for putting all my stuff up on eBay. Now, so back to school, not just the buying of the stuff, but it's getting your kids ready to, mm-hmm. to protect themselves. You know, for back to school, for when you've got young adults going off to college, it still astonishes me to this day. We don't have parents talk to their kids about opening up a checking and savings account at the local credit union.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every college, university has a credit union. That was my first. My first account was at the Bloomington, Indiana, the Indiana University Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my folks depositing like $100 in, and like, mm-hmm. that's all the emergency money you'll need for the year, right? I'm sure it is. And by the way, I didn't even need it, because mm-hmm. my emergency money was the credit cards that I opened up on mm-hmm. my own without any help from my parents, without any knowledge of what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
and that's the story I'll go with next.
Yeah. And, so, you know, and the and here's a, here's I'm gonna while you're going with that story,
yep.
let me pull out a fact for you.
Yes, sir.
I found the this is in a new study. It's called Money Matters on Campus,
mm-hmm.
And they do a survey every other year to find out what's going on campus and how kids are treating their money, and they found that consistently over the years. And this has now been a span over many, many years. As credit card debt and other student loan debt increases, students are more likely to demonstrate unhealthy attitudes and behaviors towards spending, savings, and debt. A checking account was again found to significantly predict fiscal behaviors such as budgeting, savings, and managing debt. So what their study basically boiled down to was, if you send your kid off to college, it's better for them to have a checking account than it is to have a credit card. Now, coupled with the credit with the checking account could be a debit card. So rather than writing checks, they could use a debit card, and then, of course, when they're writing a check, they don't have to produce 16 forms of ID to go along with the check. But they found that people that had the checking account and had to physically write checks for things managed their money better than ones that just hailed with plastic and swiped it and never gave it a second thought.
Well, you know, that's interesting. And when I say that's interesting, I think it's important as parents you get your kids prepared financially to go off to
mm-hmm.
college. And I'm not going to be a contrarian. I'll be the devil's advocate on both sides of the thing. I think that you send your kids off and you get them both. And you know, we've talked about it is absolutely essential for them to get a checking or savings account,
yeah.
and learn the skills of balancing a checkbook for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It is just as equally important while they're getting pre-approves to get their first credit card and teach them how to use it responsibly.
Agreed.
And the reason why, and this has nothing to do with the behavior that you were just talking about, Rick, because I'll go back to my story in a minute. I can tell you firsthand, you have a credit card for the first time, there's a great chance you're going to use it irresponsibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to do this when you're 18 or 19, and ideally you want to get your first credit card, and you want to learn early on to use it responsibly so that you're building up a positive credit history.
Yep.
So that by the time you graduate, when you're applying for jobs, what do employers do now? Just like the insurance agents, they pull your credit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no credit history whatsoever, they're going to look and say, well, that's kind of strange. Why? A 22-year-old's never used a credit card. How do we know how financially responsible you are
mm-hmm.
to yourself? And because that's a gauge of how financially responsible you'll be as an employee
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
So next up. You need to be building your credit while you're in college so that once you're off of campus, say you're in a dorm or you're in a frat for all of your years, you're in a sorority, you graduate and you're getting your first apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And the apartment complex, the landlord or the management company will be pulling your credit.
Mm-hmm.
You decide that it's time to get a job and you're working in the city even though you live way out in the suburbs because you can afford that. So you need to buy your first car or finance your first car.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going either to your credit union. Ideally, you have had a relationship, again, all those years at a credit union, so that you could then sit in and say, I need to get a loan for a car.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've been building up your credit history so that you can go in, whether to your credit union or another financial institution, or going into a dealership,
yep.
because sometimes they have as competitive or even bonus deals on financing because they're just trying to sell cars, and you finance there. They'll be pulling your credit history. So to eventually buy a house, they will pull your credit history. And, yes, when you get your first car insurance, they will be pulling your credit history.
Mm-hmm.
So let's recap. All those things would require you building your credit history.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest misnomer that kids have, they'll say, well, I'm building my credit history. I got a checking account at my local credit union.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you never overdraw your account, if you only write checks that your account can cover,
mm-hmm.
If you replenish money in there regularly, or maybe you have a direct deposit, whether from work or from mom or dad, you are not building your credit whatsoever because
mm-hmm.
you're not borrowing. Remember, when you're building up a credit history that's reflected on a report carried by the information of one of three bureaus, Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion, this is the act of borrowing and paying back.
Mm-hmm.
When you use a credit card, you are borrowing. It's not your money. It's somebody else's money. You're charging it. And then at the end of the billing cycle, it is your choice to make a minimum payment or more than a minimum, or ideally, as I have a core solution, we would want you to use credit wisely, pay it off on time and in full at the end of that cycle,
mm-hmm.
and then you're zeroed out. It's just like using cash, but you've had a 30-day float, you've had chargeback protections. That's a brilliant way to go. You do that, and that shows you borrow, you pay back. You borrow, you pay back on time, in full, and all these things help build your score.
Mm-hmm.
You can also choose to use credit and make minimum payments and start carrying a balance. And then you've got interest rate costs and fees. You can also choose to borrow and not pay on time, and you can be late, or you can miss payments a month or two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you will also be building a credit history. Unfortunately, it will be not building it up. It will be
wonderful credit history.
Yeah, it will be a credit crater. A crater history, no, but you'll be building history nonetheless. It's a
mm-hmm.
negative history.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how we want you to do it. And if,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, as a parent of sending your kid off, you say, that's my kid, well, then maybe follow Rick's advice and only go get them a checking account, a savings account at the credit union, get them a debit card and say you can't swipe more than you got in the account,
mm-hmm.
and that's that. Just keep in mind that's not building. If you want them to build a credit history simultaneously, they're going to need to use credit. Now, a lot of kids, when I teach it on campuses,
mm-hmm.
Taught at schools around the country, Rick, every year there will be a handful of kids that say, I'm going to have the best credit ever because I never use it. I don't even own a credit card. And I'm like, well, why do you think that? And they say, because I have no debt. I said, well, you're right. Having no debt is a good thing for your credit.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have no debt while you've borrowed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Showing a track record, and I said, you realize you have zero credit. You will not get approved for anything. And they're left scratching their head. So their parents have done them a disservice, and that means we as financial educators have not done enough. So I
mm-hmm.
would tell parents as a checklist, you want to send your kids off to college, get them into a local credit union,
mm-hmm.
and you need to help them because of the Credit Card Act from 5 years ago. It mandates that to open up a credit card, they need to have one of two things. Either if they're under 21, they need to either have a co-signer, mom or dad,
mm-hmm.
or a really stupid, gullible roommate. those are the best kind, aren't they? But you either have a parent co-sign
mm-hmm.
or you have proof of a job. And,
mm-hmm.
and that proof of income shows ability to pay, and then you can get a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely, mom and dad, they're going to need you or guardian, they'll need you to sign off on getting that card. Get them one. They don't need five. They don't need 10.
Mm-hmm.
This is
mm-hmm.
not a scenario where the more credit cards I get, the
mm-hmm.
better my credit history is building.
Use
no,
them
that,
as flash.
Yes.
Look what I have.
Exactly. Look, I can do a spread like I'm dealing like bicycle cards.
Yeah.
You know, you don't play poker with your credit cards, by the
mm-hmm.
way. So get one.
Mm-hmm.
Use it as much or as little you want each month, as long as you're only spending what you can afford to pay off, not just on time, but in full every
mm-hmm.
month. That's the key. Essentially, always on time. But to save money and really to avoid ever spending a dime, a penny in interest, pay it off on time and in full every month, and your credit will sing by the time you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple of financial checklist things I think kids should do.
Mm-hmm.
What are other things that are maybe you think think about when you sent your daughter out into the real world for the first time, other financial checklist items that are appropriate.
Well, I think that if I was sending her off to college right now, and obviously she's doing other things in college right now, but if I was sending her off to college, I would have to take a look at what is the cost of the college and can I afford to help support that tuition and books and room and board and all of the incidentals that go along with that out of cash flow or out of some savings that I might have or out of a 529 where I put money away. Mm-hmm. But if none of that was possible, and there are people that none of that is possible, they will go and get some kind of student financial aid of some sort. I was talking with a couple of young ladies the other day at City Hall. One of them was going into their senior year. One of them was going into their sophomore year in high school. They were talking about they wanted to go into journalism.
Mm-hmm.
No
way!
But that was their kind of their goal. And I told them, I said one of the things that they might want to take a look at is to take a look at the professional associations that cover journalism, like the Public Relations Society of America. There's a professional association for journalists. There's all kinds of professional associations, and many times they have scholarships and grants mm-hmm. that are available, and they go untapped because people don't think about them. They think about going out and getting sitting down with a student aid person at the college. They fill out their FAFSA form. They apply for some kind of loan through the federal government or a private loan of some sort. And that's all they think about. They don't think that there are other opportunities for them. They may think, I will get an athletic scholarship because I'm very athletically inclined, or I'll get some other kinds of scholarships from the universities because I'm so brilliant in chemistry that they're going to want me to be there. But they don't think that some of the other professions that they might want to go into, there are professional societies all across the map, and many of them have scholarship programs. No, it doesn't cover everything, obviously, but a few hundred here, a few thousand there is not a bad thing.
Every little bit helps,
and you get it every year. And some of it you don't pay back because it's just given.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you wanted to be a journalist who did a money show like Rick and I do every week on mm-hmm. Your Money Your Matters, you could even go to the Society of American Business Editors and Writers,
mm-hmm.
SABU, and one of our friends of the show from the past, Pamela Yip of the Dallas Morning News,
mm-hmm.
a long-time organizer and supporter of SABU. As a matter of fact, she's helped me exhibit at several of those.
Mm-hmm.
They do scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond the professional organizations that you've mentioned, you would be surprised at the places that you can get scholarships from. So in the past, I've taught with one of our Cornerstone Credit Union League members, CU of Texas. I would usually do once a year a back-to-school, a half-day training, and we would go through all of these mm-hmm. with the kids and the parents together. And what's fascinating is the CU of Texas offers scholarships for their members. If you've mm-hmm. got a kid going off to school, and it was some pretty decent money that they were giving away. And I was like, wow,
mm-hmm.
that should be part of your marketing. And by the way, you may get scholarships for your kids to go to school. I was like, wow, that was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on another example of this, my friend Amy, who I talked about recently on the mm-hmm. show, her daughter, who's just next week is moving into Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
A Big Ten school.
That
hopefully both your Wisconsin Badgers and my Indiana Hoosiers can beat up on this year. They're only a couple years into the Big Ten, so hopefully there are passes.
They know how to play rugby real well.
Yes,
American football,
lacrosse,
is people
and stuff like that. They can crush us in. But
they'll crush us in academics, but they can't crush us in football.
Yeah, and of course last year in their initial year, they beat IU at football, so big surprise. Anyway, so basketball, possible we'll get them back. But anyway, So her daughter is going off to Rutgers, and Amy had applied for and got her daughter a $2,000 scholarship through her employer. Her employer, who she worked at for 16 years, but it said if your kids are going, you know, in-state, you can apply for. And it was not like they did this for all their employees. It was a very competitive process. And her daughter got a $2,000 scholarship. And it was great because she goes, wow, I'm processing the check right before I move to Texas. But her daughter got that from her employer, from
yep.
mom's employer.
Mm-hmm.
So you should never underestimate the generosity of corporations and even your employer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt to go to HR and say, hey, we don't have any sort of scholarship or program for kids, do we? And if not, do you know of other places that do, places I
mm-hmm.
should be applying at?
Yeah, and there's, you know, the other thing that I was thinking about this morning, that there are times where people, you know, they, for whatever purpose or reason, when they graduate from high school, don't have the dollars to go to college, and their desire is, well, I'm just going to go out and get a job, and I will work and I will save. If they get the right opportunity in the right place, there may be the opportunity with their employer to have the employer help them pay for college over a period of time. I know that we do that here at the Cornerstone Credit Union League, that if you are taking courses to better yourself in, say, this industry, the financial and institution industry. And so you're maybe you don't have your bachelor's yet. Maybe you just have an associate, or maybe you just have a high school diploma, and you're hired. You could ask them to cover those expenses. And typically, what they do is you pay for the coursework. You get a certain level of grades. You come in and show them your transcripts. Say, see, I got all A's last semester, and they reimburse you for all of the costs that it costs to take those courses, which is seed money for paying for the next courses the next semester, and you can continue to do that. Now, typically, they would want you to stay working with them for a period of time after that. But there is always that opportunity, and so I would never discount the fact of going to your employer and saying, I want to improve myself, I want to better myself, I really like this industry, I want to do something with it. Is there an opportunity within that firm to pay for either coursework or something else to improve yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So always, I would never not do that, because the dollars could be there, and you just are neglecting it. It's just sitting there. At the end of the year, what happens to it? Drops to the bottom line, ends up as profit for the company. They roll it in the next year.
Yeah.
It just sits there. So,
all right, a couple tips I'd like to give for kids that are going off to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell my story just for the comic relief of what an idiot I was, but so it was now. We're looking at 26 years ago that I was a freshman on the campus of Bloomington, Indiana, and I'll never forget the day that I'm in the student union, and there's this beautiful blonde woman who's batting her eyelashes at me from across the room and kind of fingers toward me like, come hither. And, you know, she had me...
Without his toes touching the ground.
Yes, I floated ethereally on air, and I landed... And I felt like it was a Charlie Brown, or it was, but anyway, and she said to me, she goes, I can give you freedom. And I thought, you can give me whatever you want, you know, but, and she goes, no, she goes, I can give you freedom. She goes, do you have this IU? And I'm not going to say which brand, but it was a credit card. I said, I don't have any credit card. She goes, you don't? All the college students have credit cards. and she goes, wouldn't it be nice to go to the college mall there in Bloomington? And she goes, you know, now that you're living on your own, she goes, are you in the dorm? And I said, yeah. She goes, you can buy your own clothes. And she goes, you can go out with your friends on the weekends. She goes, even if you got the dorm plan, you want to go out to restaurants every now and then. She goes, and wouldn't it be nice if a pretty girl wanted you to take her out? And she bats her eyelashes at me again, and I'm like, did she just say if I get the credit card, she wants me to take her out on a date. I was fairly certain in my mind at that moment, Rick.
Can I sign up for five of these?
Yes, yes. I'd like the lifetime commitment credit card. So she gave me the form, and I quickly filled it out.
Mm-hmm.
I filled out my name. I filled out my parents' address. Because, I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
money stuff, and all my bills go to my parents, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I filled all that out, signed it, and she's like, great, you'll be getting your credit card in the next week or two, and
mm-hmm.
congratulations. And she may have even given me, here's your numbers, that if there was no online shopping,
mm-hmm.
but if you'd like to go to a store and give them, this is your 16-digit code,
mm-hmm.
and you're, you know. So anyway, so it was like that. Then I wake up that morning thinking, I'd like a financial tool for my tool belt, or that I'd like to start building my credit.
Yeah.
No. I impulsively responded to a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I responded to the pretty girl, did I check to see what the APR was, the interest rate, the grace period? Was there an annual fee, application fees? Did I learn any of these things? No. I was a complete moron. But wait, it gets better. There's more. So, again, this is August of 1989. By the end of the first semester, I remember taking the, what was it called? The Hoosier Highline. No, the Hurrying Hoosier bus from Bloomington to Chicago. And my dad is waiting for me at the bus stop. And he's got a credit card statement he's holding.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fast-forwarding from the beginning of the semester to the end of the semester. And he goes, Todd, what is this? And I said, I don't know. You tell me. He goes, you got a credit card? I said, yeah. I said, you know, for emergencies and stuff. He goes, but we paid for all of your room, your board, your tuition.
Mm-hmm.
You had everything, didn't you? And we even put $100 into a checking account at the local credit union, didn't
mm-hmm.
we? Yeah, I said, but Dad, I just figured, you know, that'd be kind of an adult thing to do, to get a credit card. Because, Todd, your bill is over $3,000. Now, keep in mind,
I'm sorry.
this is 1989. So with inflation and stuff, let's just roughly average, that's probably about $9,000 that I spent in the 3.5 month semester
mm-hmm.
at Bloomington. And he's like, what did you spend it on? And I'm sitting here, and I can almost, like, virtually tick off everything. You know, and whether it was the shopping excursions at Chess King so that I could look like a college student
mm-hmm.
with the finest of clothes, my ZZ Cavarici suspender pants
mm-hmm.
and the like,
mm-hmm.
whether it was the football tickets that Mom and Dad did not pay for, but
mm-hmm.
I knew, and honestly, of anything I probably spent that was one thing I do not regret,
yep.
getting to see the Heisman Trophy runner-up, Anthony Thompson, that year. Wow. There were parties on the weekends, and
mm-hmm.
it was amazing how upperclassmen would say, let the freshmen come, and they can buy the beverages. Now, keep in mind, I was not even 18 for most of the semester. I was
mm-hmm.
17, so I wasn't going to any place and buying liquor.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd say, don't worry, we can buy it. You can just front us the money. So I would do cash advances, which, of course, I didn't know had a higher interest rate charge
mm-hmm.
on my credit card
mm-hmm.
than traditional purchases. But I would cash out, you know, because why would I take the cash out of my checking account from
yeah.
the credit union? That was for emergencies. So at least I did identify that a keg party was not an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not pull that out of my emergency funds. I went out on a few dates.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, none of them were with the blonde girl with the long eyelashes.
Who disappeared after registration
yes.
was done.
Yes. matter of fact, never had any kids with her, never got married, never had a first date with her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, the credit card is still an active credit card 26 years later.
Mm.
And yes, I did eventually pay down that credit card. And how I paid down that credit card was the School of Hard Knocks. My dad, who said, you have not made a payment on this, apparently, for the last several months either.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I was dinging my credit up. Mm-hmm. What would I know about credit? I never had a credit card. Mom and Dad felt bad, though, because they said, we know you got a credit card because you would borrow our credit card, you would swipe, and you would get stuff. So here you are, you're swiping, you got stuff, and we didn't teach you any better.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on us. So what they did is they said, we're going to front you the money. We're going to pay the pay that off. I said, thank you for paying that off. I said, no. We're paying it off until this summer where you will work off the $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suddenly I'm mortified. I said, well, I figured out I need to be working next summer so I have money for my sophomore year. And they said, oh, no, you'll be working to pay for all the damage you've done in the first semester of your freshman year. And by the way, you're going to be living extremely cheaply this second semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yes, sir. He was not too pleased with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's funny that a lot of kids can't have that very lesson today because of the Credit Card Act, which is a good thing. It prevents kids from getting access to credit unless they have an ability to pay.
Mm-hmm.
They have a means to pay. And by the way, these are the same type of rules that that mortgage lenders are looking at now. You can't give a mortgage without proving they have an ability to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give somebody minimum wage $1 million home loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's setting them, they're destined to fail, and there'll be a foreclosure. So that's good news. But the real lesson here is 17, 18, 19-year-olds
mm-hmm.
are still brain dead when it comes to finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you owe it to them, especially if you're going to end up being a cosigner, you owe it to yourself. Talk to them about money. Talk about how credit works, how it impacts their credit history, their credit score. Talk about how interest can be charged and how that accrues if you carry balance. Talk about the damage from missing payments. The what negatives and derogatories or eventually collections if you don't ever pay it and you don't respond, what those can do to you, and talk about the basics of budgeting,
mm-hmm.
and how it, no matter how much or little, or even if they have no job, no income coming in, they can still budget off of what they had saved up for the year,
mm-hmm.
and to prioritize wants versus needs. I know that none of this is new,
no,
but it's so critically important.
Well, you know, and it was interesting because when my daughter was in college and she thought she needed a credit card, and I said, well, we can certainly get you one because you've had an account for the past many years over at the credit union. You know, let's just go over to the credit union and I'll sit down with you and we'll get you a credit card. No. I got this thing in the mail, and I want to fill it out. And when I looked at it, it was Chase Bank. And I said, you want to just fill this out? You have no relationship with Chase Bank. You're just going to fill this out and apply for a credit card. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, all right. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you can go. And I knew what was going to happen because here she is. She's, 19, going on 20. She wants to use the credit card, obviously, when she's on the road so that she can pay for the hotel room, which was always, you know, a difficult thing to do when you're 18, 19, you don't have a card. And so she wanted to be able to pay for the hotel room and such when she was modeling. So I let her fill it out. I said, now, don't be disappointed if this comes back disapproved, because you'll put down your income and you'll put down your profession and everything else. They're going to take a look at this and go, no way. In the first place, you haven't had a credit card yet, so you don't have any credit history. They're sending you this because I'm living at the same address.
Right.
And that's why you got that in the mail. So they're figuring that maybe you're my spouse. That's why they sent it to you, not to me. But in any case, she fills it all out, puts all the information in, sends it in. 2 weeks later, gets a letter back from Chase, says, thank you very much for your application for a credit card. At this time, we cannot, you know, and it goes on and on and on as to the reasons why they cannot. And I said, don't be disappointed. I said, here, let's go back to step A that we skipped over. And we went up to the credit union and sat down with the person that was at the credit union, talked with them for about 5 minutes. She got up, went over, got an application, filled it out while she talked to us, and got her a credit card so she could begin using her credit card.
Her first card?
Her first card. And I talked to her and said, you know, it's the relationship that you want because they know who you are and they know that you have your savings account there and they know who I am because I have my savings account there. And so they want to build on that relationship, and you've built on that relationship over a period of time. So, you know, use the relationship. Don't use some stranger just because it came in the mail,
right,
and it says, oh, you're approved for $5,000, which in the tiny print on the bottom says you have to have a perfect score to be able to get that, and this doesn't apply to everyone.
Right.
Yeah, so all of those types of things to come into play.
Now, you know, it's interesting because I've worked in the credit counseling industry for 15 years. Just
you
worked in the credit union industry for how long?
Oh gosh, I've lost math. 40.
40.
Let's see, 80s, 90s, the thousands,
35. 35.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he does his checkbook. That's.
But I was actually a member of
a
credit union in 72. So,
It's
been a long time.
Well, I've always enjoyed over the years when I talk to people, I tell them I've worked at a credit counseling agency, and they say I went to them while I was in college, and oftentimes the same story that I told you about mine, they will have had, but they didn't go to mom and dad. And it's the first time that they have a harsh reality check, but they sit down for free with a budget and credit counselor at a nonprofit organization, and they say, all right, here's how you can afford to live on your income or your lack of income. Here's a budget. Here's what you need, and, you know, for your tuition, your room and board, your books, activities, and stuff like that.
Yep.
And here's your other essentials, you know, your toothpaste and deodorant, stuff like things of that nature. And I'm never ceased to be amazed how many people do that while they're in college, and it's almost out of shame because they never knew how to use these financial tools. And thankfully, because I love hearing about it, that's where the nonprofit, you know, financial safety net of a credit counseling agency that can be local to you or one of the national, like Navicor can take calls from all 50 states, is there as a backup. I would much rather they never need to talk to a budget credit counselor on the back end because they proactively learned about these tools. They talked about it with mom and dad. And by the way, you can proactively sit down with a budget credit counselor or you can proactively take free classes. And we do a lot of webinars online, things of that nature. But take advantage of the resources, just like you can take classes from your credit union. And Lord knows, over the last 6 years, how many times I've talked about where I partnered with some of our Cornerstone members to teach. There's so much great free information out there, including, I don't know, listen to a podcast once a week from a couple of guys like us.
My most dangerous time in college, by the way, I thought I'd fill you in. My most dangerous time in college was there were two of favorite bars. One was across from the football stadium. The other one was downtown on the other end of campus. And my credit union had figured it out a long time ago. They had an ATM machine and branch office next door to each one of those. So if you were in there and you reached in your pocket to buy the next pitcher or the next brat or whatever it might be and realized all you had was pocket change and no dollars, you could just go out the front door, go over to the machine, use the machine, get the dollars, come back in, and spend it again. So it was very dangerous.
All right, so that's a good lesson for the parents to talk about with their kids. So remember, a credit card, you can charge away. It's not your money. You're charging down to a limit. And you can spend as much as you want of your limit. That doesn't mean you should. It just means you have access to that amount of money.
Doesn't ring a bell. You don't get a Kewpie doll or a cigar.
Yes, yeah. Congratulations. You maxed out your credit card.
Here's a cigar. Okay.
Actually, what they'll do is, congratulations, we'll give you more lines to hang yourself with. But, the debit card or an ATM card, on the other hand, pulls money out of your checking or savings accounts. And that's very different because you're taking money that is yours and depleting it from your account right away. There is not an unlimited amount there. It's not based on a credit line. It is based on your account balance that day. Now, you may have had $1,000 at the beginning of the week, but once your rent processed and your Macy's card was passed, paid, your Target card was paid, whatever else, and you may have $37 left over, it's not going to fly when you make that first withdrawal for $40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you make a second one for $50 or $80. All those are going to be overdrafts or over the limit, you know, and trigger fees and troubles
mm-hmm.
for you. So, yeah, that's not your own, and that's why you have to be on top of how much money you have in there in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
And by the way, no excuse nowadays. You don't even have to be good at balancing a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
The apps really do the work for you. Now, that,
yeah.
doesn't mean I don't want people to have those skills,
mm-hmm.
but if you've got an app that's synced up, it will track and it will do all the, all right, these are the withdrawals, these are the deposits this,
mm-hmm.
this month, and you can go through it. And just like I go through my credit card statement, I usually pull it up from the activity every week just
mm-hmm.
to see what's going on. And I can track, well, what's my bill going to be on pace to be this month, because I always like to pay it off on time and in
mm-hmm.
full. But, you know, if you trust it, you say, yep, those were all of my charges, or these were my debits, and these were my checks that were deposited. And you can just look at it and ballpark it and say, yeah, that's right. Now, if you don't trust computer math, you know, or you're worried about then do it yourself. And those are good skills to have.
Computer's lying.
Yeah. But it really will do the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you overdraw your account, that's from failure to take advantage of the most basic tools that are there to make life easy for you. Don't do that. That's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad.
It really is bad. And the other thing that I was going to mention before we get in, we'll talk about it a little bit next week as well, is that it's important to understand if I am going off to college and what I want to do is I realize I'm going to have to take out loans. Realize that what, you know, a lot of the people have said, a lot of the professionals have said that you do not want to end up coming out of college with a loan that is significantly more than what you're going to earn your first year in the job. So I go to college, I want to be a social worker maybe, and I know that my first year pay might be somewhere around $24,000. That is the upper limit that you would want for any kind of loan at that point in time. And actually, to be candid, you want it much lower than that. But if you were to look at it from some standards, you'd have to realize this is how much I'm going to make my first year. That's all I'm going to make my first year. So I'm going to need to make sure that I don't spend a whole lot of money on these loans. So don't go, you know, $50,000-$75,000 in debt, figuring, oh, I'll make it up and pay it off sometime in the future.
You know what, Rick? Next week, why don't we'll tag this, and for all of our listeners, you'll want to stay tuned. Next week. What we'll do is, as we finish up our back-to-school month, let's do the ROI analysis of how to choose a college and truly figure out what's affordable.
Yeah.
So this would be mm-hmm. at those that are aimed at selecting a college,
mm-hmm.
especially if you've got high schoolers right now. And this is not for the high schooler alone.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the parents, because you're bearing some of the brunt of this too. So we're going to go through the entire way of pricing out the cost of college.
Yeah, and I think that'd be a really good thing to do, because there are a lot of colleges that you can go to. You do not have to go to the most famous college in the world. And I've talked to people before that, yeah, I went to Harvard or something. It isn't always that. It is really up to you and your personality of what you do with it. When you get out of college, it's not necessarily a Harvard degree that you need from a business school. You get a business school anywhere.
Yeah, what, you got to go to Harvard so you could become president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that did just happen
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Okay, so everybody, have a fun time in the next week, and we will talk to you in 1 week on Your Money, Your Matters.
Money for nothing.